You can have any conversation, difficult conversations. A, make sure you say it with kindness. Make sure you say it in the way that your partner would be able to hear you, and hopefully you're emotionally intelligent enough with them that you would know what that is. And three, make sure that you're saying it in the way that you'd want to hear it. Hello and welcome to Spiritually Hungry.
Very excited for today's episode.
I am too. One of my favorite topics. Although people aren't going to recognize it as such at the
really?
Beginning. Yeah, I think this is a topic that most people aren't very excited to experience most of the days, mostly because they don't have the tools, and these kinds of experiences usually are unpleasant unless you have the tools and both people
That's very
have
interesting.
The same that was kind the, of I awareness.
Think, as you're speaking, I think it's probably the one topic in the world where the disparity between the joy we expect it to give us and the lack of work that we either desire or put into it is so great, right? Because one would assume if something's really important to you, you want to invest in it. But this, it's kind of crazy to see something's probably because we don't know.
Well, we don't know, but also our understanding of it is
immature.
Skewed from the beginning. Yeah. It's this romantic version. So now we're giving some clues, but specifically, so we are talking about relationships, but more than that, we're talking about having difficult conversations in relationships. And it's so important because it creates a space between connection and disconnection. It creates an energy in a relationship when there's unspoken words that are felt but not said or expressed.
And I think, again, that is so important. I think that almost every single relationship has that. The more unspoken words, the more distant the relationship is. And the less unspoken words, the closer the relationship is.
The less unspoken words?
The less unspoken words exist.
Yes.
The closer the relationship is.
So, exactly.
And by that, I just want to say, it's just a compliment for you. You're one of your amazing superpowers is you're able to, in working with a couple, to really hone in on what the unspoken words are, not just because it's not necessarily what the disagreement was about. It's really the unspoken words and really help people be able to overcome those deep needs that are not being spoken about and that are creating separation. And again, I'm just so excited about this topic, but I want to let you speak a little.
Do you? Yeah, I sure. wasn't picking up
you're,
on that,
you're the
actually.
Authority on this, but the crazy thing is that the reason people don't have these deep, uncomfortable conversations is because I think sometimes they're afraid it might create separation, but in reality, it is the not talking about it that is creating separation, and the talking about it creates such a beautiful closeness when done properly.
Well, I do love working with couples because I often say, hear the want behind the words. Most people react to other people's hurts or their expectations, especially ones that are unspoken, and or even some that are demanded because it's not really what they want, right? And I also like working with just individuals because it's also the relationship you have with yourself. So many things are unspoken to self, which is a big part of the problem. It's not so much that issues in the relationship arrive because you don't know the story in your partner's head. It's because you don't know your own story. So I think, and I want to discuss and kind of unpack these.
Go for it.
I always find it interesting when I speak to people and they're so afraid to have they call it a confrontation. And I said, well, let's already reframe that. It doesn't have to be a confrontation. It can be a conversation that's passionate, that's meaningful, that maybe even be emotional, but it's an expression of self. But so many people have like dread about it, and their stomachs knots and their palms are sweaty and their hearts are palpitating. And I'm like, this is so fun. What an opportunity. And the truth is, I think for our listeners, when you start to embrace this and you learn these tools, then you're liberated because there's nothing you're afraid to uncover or hear. You can discern what sounds true to you or not, but you have to have that knowing of yourself as well. And then you look forward to it. So like this happens all the time now. And I always look at it as such a great opportunity. I might hear something that somebody said, or there's rumors, and or it might be something that doesn't sound great. And I always go, okay, benefit of the doubt. Does it sound like this person? Not really. perhaps, maybe there's something I don't know. I pick up the phone, I call the person and I say, hey, I heard this thing and I'm not saying you said it or you didn't, but I really want to know what you're feeling. Is there any truth here? Maybe it was misunderstood or maybe it was exaggerated, but even if there is any truth, I really want to hear what you have to say because I'm not afraid to hear it. But that again takes practice. And I think that part of this episode is to hopefully get our listeners to that place where they really are comfortable with any kind of conversation.
If I could just add, just really restating what you said, which I would reframe, right? Hopefully we inspire our listeners to understand that the uncomfortable conversations that we're avoiding are actually the way to an amazing relationship. They're not something you might have to get through or something you might have to do or maybe even want to do. No, it's the road towards an amazing relationship. So you actually want to be excited and inspired to have these conversations.
So here's the thing, exactly. I think that, and we've learned this through the years, we feel the closest after we've had an argument or a disagreement. And we don't have that many, but sometimes we have ones where we really just can't see the other's point of view. And what happens is we want to share even more our point of view, not to convince the other person, but really to be heard and understood. And we always, and I remember one of our bigger ones, which we kind of talked about, I think, on the podcast, but it took 3 different conversations over a span of a week and a half until you finally heard me. But we felt closer sometimes. We felt closer than we had in a long time from that conversation. And then you keep building upon that. And that's the foundation of the strongest relationships. So you want to actually, in essence, be able to feel safe enough and vulnerable enough where you can say, hey, I really want to hear what you have to say. I'm really curious to see your point of view. Is that how you view me? And it's not a coincidence. One of the first stories we read about in the Bible is Adam and Eve. And it says, let me create a helpmate for Adam. I think that most people, when they look at relationships, they think, again, it's that romantic version of it, that it should be without opposition. Well, what is an opposition? Again, it's a word that is necessary to reframe because opposition doesn't mean the person is against you. They're opposing you, which means they're shining a mirror up to you and saying, hey, this thing that you're reflecting at me, you might want to look at that, right? That might not be something that you're intending to do or how you're meant to express yourself. And you are a mirror for one another. I mean, it's kind of crazy to me that people live together. They share a bed. They share everything physically, right? They're together all the time. Why wouldn't you make that the best experience possible if, again, you're in a relationship with a partner who's also spiritually seeking? Because I think this is kind of difficult if one person is in it to change and to grow and transform. The other person's like, no, my ego really is comfortable here.
Right. And I would add to that, that we're right. I think we're focusing on the conversations that maybe aren't easy. But there's another part to it, which is very much related, is that, you know, you often see couples, certainly those who are in a long-term relationship, that they're living parallel lives and they're not making themselves known to their partner. Maybe they're too tired. Maybe they're too busy. Maybe they think the partner's not interested. And just as it's important to have those uncomfortable conversations, it's also important to have the conversations, the deep conversations, to share the deep parts of you. And, you know, you might say, well, I don't care if he or she knows this about me. No. It's not about whether it's important for them to know it. It's that these conversations, the deeper they are, the more you are revealing of yourself, the closer you become. So, you know, I know very often, we've spoken about this in the beginning of our relationship. Speaking conversation was not something that I really enjoyed with anybody.
Yeah.
I enjoyed studying, I enjoyed reading, you know, having conversations, not something that I really enjoyed. But I realized over time that it is in that sharing of conversation, and certainly the deeper the better, that we actually get closer. And I want to be in an amazing relationship. So it's not even so much whether I you know, it's important for me to share with you, but it's important for me to share with you and hopefully for you with me, because we want a deeper relationship all the time and we want our relationship to be amazing. There's no way to that without the type of conversations, both the uncomfortable ones and the revealing ones that we're talking about.
And that idea kind of gave the desire for us to talk about this today. I was meeting with a couple recently, and it happens to most couples, unless you really have a model to follow, or you're seeking to understand and improve your relationship, which most people are not, right? They want their partner to be with them along the ride, and they want to get along, you know, they want to get on with the rest of their lives, building businesses, creating whatever's next on that list, right? Because finding a mate was the list. But I don't see anywhere on that list cultivating the most amazing, powerful relationship, right? It's find a mate, build my business, buy things, home, right, car, have a family. That, and then we go on from there. But this couple...
Sorry, before you went to this couple, which is really, I think, important, but I think it's important for our listeners to... Is it okay?
It's your podcast, honey.
It's our podcast. Right?
Yeah.
I'm just very excited about this topic. I hope I'm not into interjecting too much. But
might be slightly over-caffeinated, but as well.
Green tea, though. That
not that there's anything wrong with coffee.
Yes.
Okay, get your point up.
You know, I get to do a lot of officiating, both of us together, at weddings. And I mentioned this previously on our podcast, but I think it's really important for all of us to remember this. You know, I ask our listeners to stop for a second, think about all the couples that you know, and ask yourself the question, out of the 10, 20, 100 couples that you know, how many of them are in an amazing relationship? And if you're honest with yourself, maybe even your relationship included, it's a very, very, very small minority. You know, I often say it's in the 3 to 5% max. Mm-hmm. So that knowledge should frame our desire to do whatever it is that we can to be in that tiny percentage. Because otherwise, if you just let it be, even if it's okay, it won't be okay over time. It won't be thriving. It won't be amazing. It won't be a generator of amazing energy and joy for you and your partner.
So let's help listeners understand how to get to a place where your relationship is more that kind of relationship. So this couple that I've worked with, they married a few years. They certainly love each other. They're actually both spiritually seeking, have children, building a family, but again, newly married, relatively. And something that has happened is that there's been so much change in the first 2 years of the marriage for many different circumstances, external ones that you really are out of your own control. And they stopped talking to one another, and it became unsafe to talk about certain things, or if one noticed something and the other, they wouldn't share it because they didn't want to have an argument. And I think that happens a lot, right? Let's make the times we're together better. I don't want to rock the boat. I hear this a lot. One of my least favorite isms is happy wife, happy life. Like, there's all these kinds of things. Exactly. So,
which basically means, you know, let's get everybody to shut up.
Exactly. Which is a dead end to the relationship.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I hear even like spiritual people say that, or I mean, it's yeah.
Yeah. It does not make sense. So
give her what she wants. Give him what he wants.
So an opportunity came up for them to move because of his work. And that opened Pandora's box, because their relationship was already one that was functioning at a level where there wasn't a lot of communication. Of course, they weren't aware of that. Still newly married, love each other, raising a family. They're having important conversations about important things like their children, like whatever, but not about, you know, I've noticed that you're a little bit less invested in your growth, or I've noticed that, you know, you spend mindless hours on Instagram scrolling, or these conversations were not happening because they were afraid to insult one another.
And I promise you this one's short, but what's amazing is that if you had, you asked them, are you in a happy, loving relationship?
They absolutely,
absolutely yes. And the answer is absolutely yes. But what they were actually beginning to undermine the powerful foundations of their relationship, which is
absolutely
again, such an important
and really removing brick by bit brick without being aware of it. So this move was something that was so big. He had one opinion, she had another, and they couldn't see eye to eye. Neither one felt heard or seen or respected. One was like, how come you don't know how hard this is for me? The other one's like, how come you don't know what a great opportunity this is for me to move? And then we had a conversation and a few conversations. And I think that what was so powerful was that this obstacle was the biggest blessing for them, because at some point she was making him the problem and she wasn't aware of this. You don't ever see me. It's always what you want to do. You don't have, you know, you don't spend time with us enough.
Was he surprised?
Yeah, because this was never a conversation. And he, by the way, he had his own list if you were going to ask the question. And then once they started talking, the realization was, hey, we all have tikkun, and we've talked about this on our podcast. And I think it's such an important
point. For
our
new listeners, tikkun
is some different situations, people, scenarios that come into your life for the perfect gift for you to grow and change and who you are meant to change into, why you came into this world. So sometimes people will say, okay, well, my tikkun could be in raising children, right? That's the area that really, for lack of a better word, because I don't like this word, triggers them or is really difficult for them. For another one, it's money, right? Managing money, handling money, making money. For another one, it's their mother-in-law. You know, everybody has like, if only that one thing was fixed, then I'd be happy. Then my life would be good. And if you look at this from a spiritual perspective, all of the things that she was upset about and blaming him for, and how she didn't feel comfortable, whatever, long list of why she couldn't be vulnerable. In truth, once we took a step back and I said, okay, let's not be hurt by anything that's happened. Again, let your emotions be data and not, and don't become them. Just observe them. What's really going on here? And we went piece by piece in every facet of her life, as a wife, as a mother, as a spiritual being seeking change and growth, that all of these opportunities and all of his grievances that he had over the last 2 years that were unspoken were actually a great opportunity for what she knows she wants to change. But at some point, her ego decided, you are the problem. I'm not going to listen to you. You're the opposition. And so what happens with couples very often is they start to oppose each other. Now, opposition's good, but opposing one another means you're on that side and I'm on this side. There's no coming together. There's no friendship. There's no vulnerability. And the part that gets me is that there's still intimacy, but it's even not that great. Even if it is, it's not to the level where it can be, because all these other things like vulnerability, truth, trust, friendship, sharing don't exist.
Amazing. I didn't want to cut you off. I was waiting for my next comment. I think this is such a powerful idea. And I want our listeners to really stop and think for a moment about their relationship and to know that almost every single relationship is being undermined as we speak because they're not pushing themselves to have these conversations.
And I mean, think about it. I give this example in my book, Rethink Love.
Yeah, I need to finish my thought.
I know. I'm pulling a Michael now. Okay, fine. Go ahead.
No, that was it.
I thought so. You're taking a long time to get to the end of the sentence. So imagine somebody's walking around with spinach in their teeth all day, right? And you go to an important business meeting and then you go to your children's school. You meet with the principal, head of school. You're doing all these things in the day. And at the end of the 4 hours, you look in the mirror and you realize you have a big piece of spinach. Wouldn't you want somebody to tell you? That is what a helpmate is. That is what really in a spiritual relationship, that's what the opposition is like. Hey, you don't know this thing about yourself, but I think you'd actually want to know if we weren't emotional about what we're going to talk about. So I think the first tool is you can have any conversation, difficult conversations. A, make sure you say it with kindness. Make sure you say it in the way that your partner would be able to hear you, and hopefully you're emotionally intelligent enough with them that you would know what that is. And three, make sure that you're saying it in the way that you'd want to hear it. Like,
yeah, you just said those three really quickly, but I think you will attest in all the couples that many of the couples you've worked with that most are not
emotionally intelligent.
Both, but also aware of what you, first of all, aware of what you said, that even on this podcast, we're not just saying go have those conversations, because if you're not going to go about them in the right way, they will actually create more separation. So I want you to repeat that list, but. Not only are many people not even aware that this is the prerequisite for going into these conversations and handling them, they're also not able. They're also not able. So I'd like to ask you to repeat that list, but I'll first say that this is where I think being on a spiritual path is so important. I don't think it's possible for you have the 1% who, can somehow find a way. But unless both of you are on a spiritual path, the chances of these, you can have a relationship, but those parallel lives that people have, career, kids, 20 years later, what are we doing in this thing? To have these conversations on a consistent basis, you have to be on a spiritual path, because the ego is always going to sabotage these conversations. Mm-hmm. So unless there's at least a basic acceptance of the fact that my ego is not me, and I don't want to be living my life ego forward. And if my wife or my husband or my partner tell me something that hurts my ego, I stop for a moment. I'm not reactive, but I say, 1 second, why am I feeling angry right now? Why do I feel like yelling? Or why did I just raise my voice? That whole conversation around the ego and how it undermines deep conversations, important conversations, without that work, and again, you I'm sure you'd agree with me, the rest can't happen. conversation, the positive relationship building, deep, uncomfortable conversations can't happen.
It's interesting, as I often tell this to, I mean, everybody I meet with, and it's in my book too. I don't care what spirituality you study, but you have to know it has to exist in the relationship, or the relationship can never be all that it's supposed to be. It's just impossible, because the ego is so tricky. You don't even think it's your ego. You think it's your truth. You think it's your heart. You think it's your feelings. You think it's your trauma from the past. So that's the first thing.
I'm sorry, this is because I want you to say a little bit more. You just rolled your eyes at me. You've never rolled your eyes at me, Anna. That wasn't rolling the eyes. The drooping of the eyelids.
Wait, you're so caffeinated. That's not drooping of the eyelids. Actually, you know what rolling the eyes is? I was having this conversation with somebody recently, because her teachers, or her stepmother, used to always say, you're rolling your eyes. So you would think like rolling your eyes is rolling them up and looking up to the right or the left.
Yeah.
It's not. It's kind of just looking up and just like staring out in space, like rolling your eyes up. And
are you sure?
She researched it.
Oh, okay.
I could be misspeaking. Yes. I didn't read it firsthand. I mean, rolling your, as we know it, it's like, what you're saying is so stupid.
I think
stupid.
We'll have to agree to that. But so what's the drooping of the eyelids? Like, do it again? No, that's rolling the eyes.
I don't know, sweetie. And now I don't even know what I was talking about or what you were talking about.
Well, I was going to ask you.
Because, by the way, I have no idea what I was going to say before you interrupted me.
I'm so sorry. I'm sure it was something amazing.
It was, actually.
You were talking about, you know, people misuse or make the mistake of thinking. Great. Mm-hmm. Do you want to say it first?
Because you did interrupt. And I think the emotional intelligence part's really important. And I don't think people even do this with their children. And you and I are very emotionally intelligent, but then think about it. When your children become adults, they actually need to be able to understand you in a different way. And I've seen this a lot with our older kids. And I'm already raising, I think my relationship with Abigail, our youngest, is different because I've learned so much through the years of parenting our other three kids. But I remember when one of our kids, we would get into an argument and she would do something. Well, now I've given it away, but anyway, that really would upset me. And my reaction, I knew, was disproportionate to what was happening. But I'd get so infuriated. I'd get so upset, and I couldn't. And it would take me like a while. So I understood two things. One, it bothered me so much because it's my daughter doing it. My reaction was an overreaction because it reminisced a lot of things I experienced in my childhood in terms of not hearing when I say no or respecting boundaries, because I didn't have any in the house I grew up in. So by most of the family members. But when I shared that with her, and then finally I was able to have the words, like, this is not about our relationship. This is not even about you. But this kind of behavior, this specific scenario, it's trauma for me, right? So when we talk about tikkun, it's exactly that. Yeah, do I need to get over that? Absolutely. Do I understand why this has been presented in my life throughout my whole life? I do, because I've done that spiritual work to come to an understanding why I was in a house where there was nothing that was respected or sacred in terms of what was important to me, right? It's also my...
I don't want you to throw your whole family really to boundaries.
Yes.
You're an amazing family and parents.
My family's amazing. Yes. But also, if we look at tikkun, I needed that environment because I didn't have a voice, right? And I only found it when I didn't feel like I had one. So it's just an example of why it's so important to... No, I truly do. I'm very close with my family. But, you know, we grow up and we're all different. When we know better, we do better, 1,000%. But when we have a clear indication of why something is happening, we don't make it about the person. We don't blame. We're curious, right? We want it, because I kept asking the question, like, I'm not going to have a relationship with any of my children that's not exceptional, right? That's super important to me. So I took those steps. And I think that that's the approach that people should take to their romantic relationships also, right? If you want to have a relationship that is exceptional because this person's so important to you, you will be curious. You'll keep asking the questions. Is this based on what I came here to correct? Is this based on past hurt? And by the way, those two things are absolutely connected to each other. And then from there, you can have any conversation.
I just want to underscore what you said, which is so important. So because you took the opportunity first to do the internal work, to ask the question, why am I feeling this reaction? Number one, came to understand it, and then you shared it. You took something that could have, and I've seen other parents, other related, that just creates a huge separation in the relationship. And you actually, not only did you not make it a negative, you actually made it into a deepening of the relationship.
And by the way, she was so appreciative. And now, thank God, we don't have those kinds of arguments, because she also, this relationship is so important to her, right? And I think that often we just get so stuck in the hurt and mired and like, oh my God, how could you do this to me? Which is ego, by the way. Instead of curiosity, like, this person is so important to me. And even though I can't access my love for them right now because I'm angry, it's still worth investing in it. Now, if it's not worth investing in, that's obviously a different conversation. But there's so much to do in every relationship.
You reminded me of, and I won't go into the details of it, one of my favorite sections in the Zohar, the ancient foundational text of Kabbalah, that there's a section that's called, the title of the section is called Walls, Keyholes, and Doorways, or Openings. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that those things that we experience as a wall, meaning as a barrier between me and somebody else, or even between me and what I want to accomplish, if I do the work, they become a little keyhole. And then if I continue the work, they become a doorway or an opening for something beautiful. And too often we stop at the wall, or even if we go a little bit further, we stop at the keyhole rather than transforming it into a pathway, a new doorway to something beautiful. And that's what you did in that situation. And I think that's the work we're asking our listeners to do in their relationships. If there's a wall, know that you can actually take the beautiful energy within that wall, make it into a keyhole, and then make it into a doorway, into a pathway to new and amazing relationship.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And before, I just want to, it's completely unrelated, but because you mentioned one of
my
daughters.
You're on a roll today, sweetie.
I was laughing so hard about this. So our older daughter, I hope she, well, I don't know if she listens.
She's all over this podcast today.
So she's 21 years old, and she sent me a picture of her lunch today. She made...
I know what she made. Tater tots and veggie nuts. No, I just know because whenever we talk, she's like, okay, I'm making my lunch. I'm like, what are you eating? We've had this conversation for 3 days. I don't know why. So I know what she's eaten for the past 3 days.
So tater tots and
veggie nuggets
in the form of animals. She sent me this. I couldn't stop laughing. It looks like a lunch for a 4-year-old.
Yeah, that's her favorite kind, my sweet Miriam.
It was so funny. Did you see the picture?
I didn't.
Okay, I'll show you the picture. I'll show you later.
Yeah, I'll show you later. Okay, so another tool to help assess whether it's a conversation.
I wanted to ask you a question.
That should happen. Oh my God, I feel like I'm having a podcast by myself. What's your question?
Because again, it's just so important. And you mentioned it. And so the fact that people in the situation of the couple you were talking about, their internal dialogue was, I have trauma around this. I'm triggered by this. Did they come to realize, like you just shared in your relationship with your daughter, with our daughter, that it actually is about you more than about the others, and how to use that to get through the conversation?
Yeah, it's really powerful because, and I don't think people realize this also when they get married, if you're in essence, or even in a committed relationship, you're in essence starting your own family, right? And I think that if you don't look back to the home you came from, and more importantly, the role that you played in that home. And I haven't really talked about this so much, and something I'm kind of, a new thing I'm thinking about that I'm excited about. Now you're in this new home, and your role, where you were valued, where you placed value, how people, what they assigned you to do for them. Now you have a new place, right? With your spouse and maybe with your children. And it can get very confusing. Who am I supposed to be in this? I had the role that I was the leader, for instance, in the house I grew up, and everybody came to me for advice. I was the fixer. Yeah. I was, no, I'm not, I'm saying about a couple. I was the most spiritual one in the house, going to this new home with my spouse where I'm not that, right? Maybe they're more spiritual, or they're doing more work in that area. Maybe I don't feel so strong, so I'm going through, it can really make us feel like we are falling, right? Or and lose who we are, but it's an opportunity to find yourself. So I think that the biggest thing is that when we go through transitions and we're not aware of the voice in our head, and we're not aware of our stories, and we're not aware of what's really happening, and then we don't do the work, of course you're going to blame your partner. It happens over and over again because it's the thing right in front of you that's saying, hey, wait a second, what's going on here? And if we don't allow ourselves and give ourselves permission to say, I'm not perfect, that it's okay to fail. And this is my advice to that couple too. So many people, when they first get married or they become new time parents, they're shocked that they're not excellent at it. Why would you be good at something you have zero experience at? And even if you were married before and you got divorced, well, then you're probably still not very good at it.
You probably have negative experience.
So I'm always like, right. Of course you're not good. Look at that. That's okay. That's great. Fail miserably and try again until you get better if you care about it. Same thing with parenting. The first 3 months are terrifying for most people, especially if you didn't have siblings. I don't know what this is. It's going to the bathroom all the time. It's always hungry. It's always crying. Like, what do I do with this thing that I brought into the world? So I say, expect to fail, right? And look at that. Don't expect to be perfect. Again, that's ego. So in any kind of every advice I give on relationships, you will see you can choose ego response or you can choose the path of transformation and growth. That's it. And based on what you're choosing, your response is going to be very different. So what I wanted to say before is that there's something called the Socrates triple filter test, which I always liked because it's three questions to ask yourself when you're considering sharing something with somebody about them. Is it true? Now, is it true? It could be, is it true to you? They might still disagree, but it can't be just like, I'm angry and I feel this thing, so I'm going to say it. It's something you should really contemplate over time and based on behavior you've seen and maybe facts that you formed. Two, is it good? Is it going to add a value to your relationship, right? Is it going to make it better? And the last one is it useful? Is this something that somebody can do something with? Because I think a lot of times in the communication style, unless you pick a style, unless you give a lot of thought to it, you're never pausing. And these three questions make you actually pause. I mean, Kabbalistically, we teach this, right? To be proactive, not to be reactive, pause, what a pleasure. And by doing that, you're able to say, okay, wait a second, where is this information or this thing that I have to get off my chest? Where is it really coming from?
I think that's a very important point. And I think what we're saying to our listeners, and I said, I think most people don't do this. And certainly even in relationships, even if they're inspired by what we're speaking about today, oh, I'm going to have that conversation. Ask yourself the question, have I done some internal work around this to be able to come to the conversation in a way that will be the most possible for success, right? So it's not just, right, the misunderstanding of this, of what we're speaking about today is, oh, let me go have all the conversations. No, do the internal questioning and come to it, because the purpose of this conversation is not to vent or to tell them how wrong they are, but and consciousness is everything. If you really come into the conversation with it, I love this person and I want to deepen my relationship. And then I know that the pathway to get there is through the uncomfortable conversation. I first think, okay, why am I saying it? Where is it coming from? All the three things you said. I think too, and I know most people don't do this prior to the difficult conversations, and therefore making it less likely for the conversation to become a deepening of the relationship rather than becoming further apart.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it too is how people enter the relationships. Most people are not vulnerable and truthful at the onset, right? We overemphasize our positive traits. We de-emphasize the negative. We want to show our best selves. We hide a lot of things. Mostly we hide them from ourselves. So what are we really even going to offer? I really can't even blame people for not sharing everything, because they're not even really aware for the most part of what their worries, fears, dreams, desires are. So when you're not vulnerable to begin with, it's even harder later. And people often ask me the question, well, how vulnerable do I need to be in a relationship? Like, tell them everything, because if not, you're going to feel very lonely in the relationship. And then you have secrets that you're keeping from one another. And that builds over time. And over time, I don't understand the exercise of being in a relationship if you don't at least try to do this. Again, assuming both people are healthy and normal.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we got a question actually from one of our listeners on this idea. And so the question we got was, how do we learn to be okay with discomfort, with ours, with theirs, with being misunderstood or judged? You know, I think that's why a lot of people avoid fights, because you are living together. It's so uncomfortable when you're with somebody and you're not really making progress or as quickly as you'd like to. Do you want to answer that?
Yeah, I think it goes back to what we were saying before. If you understand that the only way for this to be a thriving relationship, the only way for this to be a relationship where the love is growing and the intimacy is growing, is by grabbing every opportunity to to have, but like you said, like you gave before, you said in the right way, the uncomfortable conversations. So hopefully, and again, this is not going to be natural because most of us, when we think about confrontation or uncomfortable situations, we take a step back. But actually, when you reframe this as these are the opportunities for deepening my relationship, do I want to have a better relationship? Do I want to have a relationship that gives me more love? Of course, every person will say yes. Well, then one of the only ways is by grabbing those opportunities, those walls that will become keyholes, that will become new doorways and pathways. So I think it's about reframing. And again, I think there's a lot of internal work that every one of us has to do. But just again, remind yourself, this is not an argument that I'm about to have. This isn't a confrontation I'm about to have. This is a deepening of our love that must traverse this, you know, relatively uncomfortable conversation that we're going to have. And then you start grabbing more and more of those opportunities.
Yeah, I think it's temporary discomfort versus small amounts of never really feeling like you belong throughout a lifetime.
Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Beautiful. I hope we've inspired it because the reason I was so excited, as many of you might know, not just because of the matcha tea that I've had, is because, you know, spiritually we know the more love that exists in the world, the better the world is, that love actually permeates the rest of the world. And unfortunately, the place that is supposed to be the source of so much goodness and love for most people is either neutral or negative. And it is our hope that today's podcast gives some tools and understandings to our listeners to generate more closeness and love in their relationship. And that know that that also permeates the entire world as well. So I'm very excited and hope. And I want to thank Monica for mostly sharing her wisdom today. But I hope that we've inspired our listeners to really take real steps to deepen your relationship and have those conversations, sometimes uncomfortable, sometimes deep, because that's the only way to new pathways of love. So we want to remind our listeners, send your questions, comments, stories, topic ideas to Monica and Michael at spirituallyhungry.life. Monica and Michael at spirituallyhungry.life. Also share this podcast with everybody you know. Go to Apple Podcasts, write 5-star reviews. And as always, and I really enjoyed today's recording, I hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast as much as we enjoyed. You enjoyed it as well, right?
I did.
Yeah, as much as we enjoyed recording it.
Stay spiritually hungry.